Fox Sports is passionate about covering the sports that our fans care about. In developing the Fox Sports app, we chose Xamarin for Visual Studio to develop a cross-platform solution that allowed us to build everything in C# much quicker than using one of the native languages without sacrificing any quality. We're able to use the hockey app to locate crashes, fix it, and get an update out. We couldn't be happier with the feedback from the users. We've seen thousands of 5-star reviews.
Pinterest is a very visual tool to be testing. Xamarin makes sense in terms of its live devices testing the physical app just like a user would use it. Xamarin Test Cloud allows us to push our app to over 2,000 real devices, both mobile phones and tablets, across a matrix of operating systems and device types so that we can get the kind of coverage we would never be able to support in-house. Working with Xamarin Test Cloud is giving us the confidence to get to our next 100 million users.
If FreshDirect is an online grocery business, the mobile applications and the website are the only way that our users have to place an order. We use Xamarin Test Cloud to ensure the quality of all of our applications. We have hundreds of test cases that run on a daily basis. It really helps us identify issues before they go live. Automated testing has allowed us to scale. It's allowed us to release features on a much quicker cycle, and it powers a high quality, seamless experience to our users.
Coke is a company that is all about their brand, and Xamarin has allowed us to present it in the best way possible. Using Xamarin Visual Studio allowed us to have all of our code in one place. Cloud integration with Azure and debugging and load testing and insights all just make it something that it's easy to use. I would tell any developers who are asking about how good Xamarin is, if it's good enough for Coke, it's probably good enough for whatever project they're working on.
Okay, so my name is Greg Urquhart. Welcome. Thanks for coming today. We'll do a quick bit of intro as we kick off. So I lead the global Xamarin Partner Sales and Strategic Alliances organization. And this is our third stop in a partner summit that we've been doing. We were in Europe a couple of weeks ago in London and Amsterdam. By way of background, I've been in the industry about 23 years. Actually had an early career with Microsoft, about 15 years in the US, East Coast, West Coast, enterprise sales. Then also in Europe, was based in Europe for several years, leading a mid-market business, working, building out a partner business there. Back in the US as well, working with system integrators, delivering solutions, cloud solutions, and then the ISV business as well. Left to do some startups, so was co-founder of some startups and investor in East Africa, actually, for 4 years. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later. It's a big passion for me, so tech, management consulting startups, so been in the role that a lot of you have as well. Joined Xamarin, great run there, and then back at Microsoft now, and pretty excited about that. So we've called those that were potentially by chance with us last year or at Worldwide Partner Conference might have remembered us talking about, you know, the Xamarin message. And we feel like we've got, for most of the people in the room, that is a message you understand very, very well. And even for ourselves internally, post-acquisition, we're always looking at what is that next sort of wow experience. So, you know, forgive the a little bit, maybe the corny idea of Star Trek, that boldly go where no man has gone before. But it really does feel like we're in this world of science fiction, complete science fiction. Things that were in the movies are now real. Let me quick show of hands. How many people have seen Minority Report? Okay, so Minority Report was made in 2002. Steven Spielberg hired some of the best minds from MIT, from CERN, all these researchers said, help me think about what 2054 would look like. So we end up with this movie that has self-driving cars, augmented reality, speech to text, you know, video capture, all these things that now in 2017 are real, and people are arguing that the full self-driving car with automated, you know, management of traffic is 10 years out, maybe even some, the optimistic say 5 years out. And so Forbes, who runs Forbes publication, Forbes 500, went and did a survey of the CEOs very, very recently, just in this last year, and asked them, what is you viewing as one of the biggest challenges? And what they listed as the biggest challenge to their business was just the emerging technologies, the rapid pace of emerging technologies. And so when they asked them more specifically, more than 75% of those CEOs said that there was a trio of technologies. It was cloud computing, it was mobile computing, and it was IoT that they viewed as, they either rated it very important or extremely important to their business in the next year. And then more than 50% of them added AI and machine learning to that list. So they are really looking for that help in how do I make this strategy, this part of the strategy, real. And we've got like 5.5 billion people on the planet. There is, they'd argue, 5.5 billion mobile phones, smartphones out there already. And so we've got 2.5 billion of those are smartphones capable of amazing things. The market is massive and it's just getting bigger. So what are we going to do today? What we want to do today, we have two tracks, as you're aware, so business and technical. We're going to split off after at about 2:15, after this keynote. But what we want to talk about here now is what's coming and how does that get integrated into mobile. We did this internally, realized we read a lot of articles on the side. You catch something in the Wall Street Journal or Tech Meme and so forth. But do we really understand and know it? Some of you are experts in some of these categories. Some of you want to be experts because your customers are starting to ask you, and we feel like there's a lot of profitability to be made in that. So we'll talk about that. On the technical side, we have the two tracks, advanced and intermediate. And this is really about, on the advanced side, talking with some of our best mobile developers who work with us in the partner team. They come from where you come from, doing development for many, many years in the mobile space, and Xamarin experts, to talk about what are those architectural best practices, not just sharing code with Xamarin Visual Studio makes possible, but also how do you modularize and share code even between applications as well as cross platforms. So I did want to take a minute just to represent the team, and this is from a global perspective. You know, last year we were probably about half this size, and so this is a great outcome of our joining Microsoft, is that we're continuing to invest in being able to work with all of you. So we have increased the amount of business development personnel that's working with you to think about how do we bring in the Xamarin capability, do go-to-markets together, think about augmenting your brands and ours together, as well as on the technical side, bringing in true mobile developers that are able to support and do technical kickoffs and really think about the architectural frameworks and so forth. So we're building that out around the world, and I really wanted to highlight that today because I know a number of folks have global businesses, and therefore we're starting to put those resources as well in India and into Singapore and into Latin America and so forth. From a perspective of what we've done together, I want to say thanks for what we've accomplished over, I'd say, the last 5 years up to this. So partners in 49 countries, over 400 at this point. When we look at mobile applications that are showing up in marquee accounts, so those large-scale enterprises, and we delivered some awards at our events last year, more than 60% of them, and even as we've watched this trend, working with our colleagues who are selling directly into enterprises, partners are critically in there doing these complex deals, and that's not going to change. So it was a big thank you to all of you for this. We see users groups that are being run and managed by folks that are in this audience and that are serving in other parts of the world. And we're quite grateful for what we've been able to accomplish together, and it just is continuing to grow. We have thousands of trained Xamarin developers, and that has continued to expand. And then the majority of those that are certified, which is a big request that we hear from enterprise customers, I want to know who actually is the best, is falling into our partner group. So let me switch it. This is a question that we have gotten consistently since the acquisition. So what's it like? You're coming from this smaller, scrappy startup that has now been acquired by one of the largest tech companies in the world. What's that change look like? And I feel like personally I have a sort of a unique perspective having been at Microsoft for a long time in the past, back starting in the mid-90s and through some of the 2000s, and then to now and what that looks like. So one thing is Microsoft strategy and mantra that Satya's been very clear about is this idea of mobile first, cloud first. And if we're a little bit self-critical, we would say that was pretty aspirational for a number of years. Just to be open and honest, right? Made a big play for Windows Phone and Windows Mobile to get out there, and it didn't have the same success as maybe some of those alternative platforms. And yet, the Azure cloud was still driving all these services behind the scenes. So this Xamarin marriage, so to speak, the acquisition, has just created this incredible new solution set that is unique in the industry. So it truly is cross-platform, any developer, any app, any platform, from wearables to augmented reality, VR, et cetera. And for us, it's pretty inspiring, the overall idea of this then shifting into the mission. The idea that we're going to let the creativity and the ideas of others play a key role in what they're able to accomplish, and our goal and mission is really to make that a reality. And, you know, from my experience, there was this idea early on that we're going to compete, we, Microsoft, we're going to compete at all costs. So, you know, Linux is a cancer, and the iPhone, it's just a toy. It's not going to be real. And those days are long, long gone. And it is this idea of being very open and recognizing people make different choices, and it is incredibly competitive out there. And we want that to be something that we augment and we make more realistic. And so a little bit of a timeline. In February, about this time last year, the announcement was made that this cloud and enterprise team within Microsoft was making the largest acquisition they'd ever made in acquiring Xamarin and really building out this capability. So Nat Friedman, that you see there on your left, he is now our corporate vice president running all of Microsoft mobile solutions, even bringing in other capabilities, which is a great thing for us, for all of you, because this is someone that has come up through the industry doing these open technologies and really has a passion for building this out. So bringing together things like Hockey App and some of the, you'll hear about later, the mobile center, Visual Studio Mobile Center, and building out all of these capabilities. Miguel Diacaza, our CTO, continues to lead and drive on Xamarin so that we're continuing to have the innovation that you've come to expect. Move into April, Xamarin is announced to be open sourced and to be, to popular acclaim, standing ovation at Build, available within Visual Studio at no additional charge, which was, you know, a big opportunity to expand out that share. Beyond that, you look at, move ahead to October, and we see that Microsoft, counter to its history now, is rated as the largest open source contributor on GitHub, which is a really amazing scenario compared to the attitude of potentially of the past. Then in November at the Connect conference, we see them joining the Linux Foundation, another scenario where 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, this would just anathema. Just nobody would have imagined that this was possible to be such to have such partnerships. And so we're seeing it show up in ways that are really exciting for me. Having gone through the early days where it started to feel like, they're referring to us in a way that doesn't feel good, dinosaur, hey, you're fighting at all costs, you're aggressive, it's you versus the world, to we actually want to bring it all in. And I just pulled a few of these scenarios where from a developer perspective, really refocusing on that and doing things like the Xamarin acquisition. But more importantly, this idea of transitioning the entire business and being recognized as a leader in cloud. And then even getting into things around design, that recognizing what's happening with Surface and Surface Studio and it turning into a scenario where for you as partners and for us as well, we're seeing this valuation skyrocket just in the last less than a year, more than 20% growth, which is pretty amazing in this space. And then we end up with this scenario of the Surface Studio and creatives, and ultimately just this story that says, the trend is completely heading up in the right direction. It's this mobile-first, cloud-first scenario. It's a marriage of two of the hottest and most important trends in the industry. And so together with you, we're able to make this a very profitable business and capitalize on this growth. And you see here, this has been true, as Satya says, for a long time. It's about, I think, 93% of the revenue of Microsoft flows through the partner channel, and that's not changing. So services revenue, implementing the actual solutions themselves, whether it's resale or not, that's an important statistic, and that's something that we, coming Xamarin into Microsoft, are very excited about the resources we're able to bring to bear on that. So what does that mean for us? And when I say us, I mean for us as a partner team working with you and you as partners. It's a new focus. It's this idea of mobile first and cloud first being a reality. It is about us being able to bring more resources in the terms of funding, and we'll get into this a little bit later today, programs that allow for POCs to be developed in concert with you as well to support your growth, to bring materials that are going to help augment your own marketing efforts, connecting up sales teams and so forth, and we'll talk about that. Most importantly for us, and what's most exciting, I think, is this idea of innovation, back to the idea of this science fiction theme and stepping out of what is our normal day-to-day, what we've done in mobile so far, and look at what's possible. And so let me give an example of that.
I'm Saqib Sheikh. I lost my sight when I was 7. And shortly after that, I went to a school for the blind. And that's where I was introduced to talking computers. And that really opened up a whole new world of opportunities. I joined Microsoft 10 years ago as a software engineer. I love making things which improve people's lives. And one of the things I've always dreamt of since I was at university was this idea of something that could tell you at any moment what's going on around you.
I think it's a man jumping in the air doing a trick on a skateboard.
I teamed up with like-minded engineers to make an app which lets you know who and what is around you. It's based on top of the Microsoft Intelligence APIs, which makes it so much easier to make this kind of thing. The app runs on smartphones, but also on the Pivot Head smart glasses. When you're talking to a bigger group, sometimes you can talk and talk and there's no response and you think, is everyone listening really well? Or are they half asleep? And you never know.
I see two faces, 40-year-old man with a beard looking surprised, 20-year-old woman looking happy.
The app can describe the general age and gender of the people around me and what their emotions are, which is incredible. One of the things that's most useful about the app is the ability to read out text.
Hello, good afternoon. Here's your menu.
Great, thank you. I can use the app on my phone to take a picture of the menu, and it's going to guide me on how to take that correct photo.
Move camera to the bottom right and away from the document.
And then it'll recognize the text. Read me the headings.
I see appetizers, salads, paninis, pizzas, pastas.
Years ago, this was science fiction. I never thought it would be something that you could actually do. But artificial intelligence is improving at an ever faster rate. And I'm really excited to see where we can take this. As engineers, we're always standing on the shoulders of giants, building on top of what went before. And in this case, we've taken years of research from Microsoft Research to pull this off.
I think it's a young girl throwing an orange frisbee in the park.
For me, it's about taking that far-off dream and building it one step at a time. I think this is just the beginning.
So very, you know, inspiring example. We actually had Sadiq in our offices here in San Francisco, Xamarin. He uses Xamarin. He is a developer at Microsoft working in the, you know, the cloud technology area and building it out and, you know, ideas around how do I make this even more cross-platform and bring in wearables like you see the Pivot glasses and others there. And it's just the tip of the iceberg and how quickly these things are moving out of R&D into being very, very real. So what we wanted to do here is I do want to take a time to talk a little bit about just the industry and what we're seeing. So I mentioned Africa in my own personal life before, and I love this idea of, you know, mobile is absolutely everywhere. So I'll give you just a quick set of, you know, statistics. And there was an article recently in The Economist that highlighted a business in Ghana, and it was an exact replica in a sense of a business that we run in Africa that focuses on, works with thousands of farmers. They do a cash crop. It's called Moringa. Actually, there's a factory in Kigali, Rwanda, right in the center of the continent. And they bring that in, turn it into things like shampoos and body butters and so forth. Very life-changing in terms of this cash crop. The point is it's all based on mobile technology is the way we work with all of those farmers. All banking done through mobile app to people that are far-flung across the region in several different countries. And actually, what's interesting is, of course, it's done by the telcos. This isn't even banks that are providing this. So it's all through mobile phones to people often that don't have access to electricity or even running water. And yet, they'll have a mobile phone. And even often, it will be a smartphone, you know, low-end Android phone. They're doing things like they're able to check and see what our price is, the factory in a city that is 3 hours away from where they are, so they can negotiate better with the transporter who's going to bring it there, and they will not get taken advantage of. They're able to check weather statistics. We have a business that does drones with mobile app smartphones that go over and remote sense the crops for sugar plantations, tea plantations, et cetera. It tells them when things need to be done, perfect time to harvest based on sugar content and so forth, all with this mobile integration. And it is massively changing the continent. It's amazing to see things like, you see apps now like Venmo here in the US that actually were born out of Africa in a scenario where nobody's going to go into a bank. There's no reason that someone that lives in a far-flung village is going to go into a bank and open a traditional account. And so you end up with this scenario, for those of that working international businesses, with one of the fastest growing markets or areas arguably in the world over there. There's 2.5 billion people in Africa over the age of 14, and they have the same amount of mobile phones and 1 billion smartphones in Africa. So most people are thinking about it in this unfair way about the level of poverty and so forth. And my point there is just this idea of the first technologies they go for and the most important are mobile. And so we're seeing that just throughout the world. The opportunity is tremendous. So when we look more broadly globally, we're looking at this statistics like this, where by 2020, 6.1 billion smartphone users, and representing a huge portion of the population. And the interesting thing, if you look at App Annie that did a survey recently, one of the most important metrics for mobile is time spent in it. And the time spent is in a mobile app. So 51 minutes out of every hour is spent in a mobile app, a smartphone app. So businesses recognize that we are walking around with this incredibly powerful technology at all times. It is the one thing we have. So it is the number one way to monetize whatever your business is. That is the device that all of us have with us at all times. And so that means that this market just continues to accelerate. When I say this market, I mean the smartphone app market. And so what we want to talk about today, well, is then how do you marry in those mobile experiences, those mobile moments that are going to secure and maintain, retain, and grow the customers that you have, the employees that you have. There's a huge expectation among whether they're millennials or others who know what's possible with the technology, and if you aren't providing it, then they will look at an option where that is going to be the case. And so what I love this quote in this slide, this idea from Forrester. So we have talked about this some in the past, and some of you may have read The Mobile Mind Shift. So it was a seminal book that Forrester did back in 2013-14, and now that this update that they did in 2017, and I really like this short update, the title of it, Mobile is the Face of Digital. So all of this that we're doing, these complex scenarios that are bringing together big integration backends, data, whether it's SQL or DocumentDB, it's scenario, big data sets that they've got, things that they're taking out of cloud environments and so forth, it's this idea that we're not convincing people they need a mobile strategy. That is a mandate that is understood. It's now this idea of it's involved in every single branded digital experience that a customer is going to have an expectation around, and a business is going to want to represent to that market. And we're seeing, you know, further that, something close to home here, Andreessen Horowitz, well-known, very famous, one of the maybe most famous venture capital firms, lots of success, bet on a lot of winners. Mark Andreessen from Netscape, one of the founders. So Benedict Evans is a well-known mobile expert, industry expert, who does a update every year. It started out with Mark Andreessen writing Software is Eating the World. Benedict took that to Mobile is Eating the World several years ago and continues to update that. And so coming out of this year, just in December, smartphone apps have won. He just said, you know, we're literally at a place where this is it's almost boring. You know, that which I would never say that boring to talk about mobile, in that his perspective was it's mobile plus. It is this idea of AI and machine learning and what's possible behind the scenes to make the mobile experience, that digital face, be so much more relevant. And where we're going with that is just absolutely incredible. And that's why we wanted to take time to really make sure we're capitalizing on that. So we see it, and there's names that you know and we all understand are complete innovators. They're born in the cloud only, or they are mobile only. Uber is a mobile only scenario, you know, cloud back end. Netflix started out in a different way, completely disrupted an industry, you know, took out things like Blockbuster, the old ways we did it, and shifted their own business model. And they continue to shift. It's interesting, you know, interesting stat. Netflix is the fourth largest production house in the US after Disney, Universal, all of these that have been at this for, you know, arguably 50 plus years. And they are the fourth largest in terms of content, winning awards away from those. That is a complete disruptor. You know, similarly, Amazon, you know, competitor of ours, but often co-opetition as well. They are the fourth largest retailer in the world. Not online retailer already, starting out with just selling books. There was a famous quote from the CEO of Time Warner in 2010 when he was asked, hey, is Netflix a threat? And he said, is the Albanian army going to take over the world? And so that is, you know, a dangerous type statement to be complacent. And that's what we're seeing from businesses across every single industry. Right? Look at these statements from CEOs, top financial institutions, top retailer, top manufacturers in, you know, arguably in the world, car manufacturers, every single one of them saying, we know that technology in general and Silicon Valley and these other disruptors are coming in and they're targeting our businesses. They're going to take it. So there is this need for help from you and from us to be able to help them think about, how do I do this myself? I want to disrupt myself, and I want to make sure that we're taking advantage of our own assets. You know, GE has been talking about the incredible amount of data. The data set itself is a revenue stream. Forget what they're manufacturing and able to do in terms of maintenance and field service on those things they're building. So again, it takes us to this point of this idea of a mobile app strategy isn't where we end. It is this idea around one component of an omni-channel approach where we're moving, like in the retail space, from they know when I've been online, when I've walked in the store, what I've bought in the past, they're able to render this for me instantly in a nanosecond because they're taking advantage of these GPU-style computational power out of the cloud and putting it into a hand or a tablet or onto a wearable. And that leads us to this idea we're asking ourselves, and I pose to you as partners, you know, are we ready? Are you ready to move from this idea? And many of you have. You know, I'm asking you to question yourselves, where do I fit on this continuum of doing staff aug, where somebody comes in and says, hey, could I use some extra hands on this project, to holistically responding to an RFP, and there's a lot of, you know, good money and margin in that as well, to I really don't know what's out there, and I'd really like your help to think about that. I need to know if AR has relevance for me as a bank, or how IoT is going to matter for me, whether AI should be built into the way I'm interacting with my customers or should do something for field service, to that point of where, you know, the biggest brand names are the ones where they say, I'm not doing my strategy without partner X. And that's where we want to be, where you're strategic and it's repeatable then revenue streams. And we've built out the way that these enterprises are going forward, you know, with the market. And so for us, what's very exciting is before with Xamarin, we were consistently talking about that outstanding mobile experience and really focused on it must be native, it must be highly performant, take advantage of everything that these devices in our pockets or these tablets are capable of, and it must have zero limitation in terms of the development platforms that I'm going to cover, whether it's, you know, a wearable, whether it's being delivered on iOS or Android and so forth. And so we make that very, very efficient and 100% of what you can do. So everybody in the room is probably familiar with that. But we were agnostic in terms of, so bring your own middle tier, bring your own back end. And so yes, now we have a bias, and we say that, I guess I'd say with pride, in that this idea of being able to say, what's possible? Let's dream about things like we saw with Sadiq and others that we're going to get into later today around bringing in these services that are going to render in a 100% native experience. So it's open, scalable cloud, GPU, CPU, computational power, whether it's storage, it's cognitive services, it's these human-like interfaces, bot frameworks, all of that now is available in a holistic scenario backed by this data, large data sets, new version of SQL Server out that, you know, has won all the awards against all others, as well as the ability to connect to other investments that your customers may have made. It continues to be possible. And then this idea of DevOps, this CI scenario that allows you to do it all in one place or connect to services that make sense for you and maybe leverage investments that you've already made. And so this story around app innovation as a holistic solution is really what we're going to talk about today, as well as this idea of bringing in each one of these pieces and the ability to, for you to go to a customer now, those with Xamarin expertise and maybe moving other technologies, and present a holistic way where if they may have made investments, whether it's in cloud technology that Microsoft has or they're doing some of the other pieces, O365, you can tie to those. We can work with you for you to know what they've already invested in, so more of those service dollars go to you because we're leveraging an investment they may have made already, and we're able to uplift that and make that more relevant for them so that they're capitalizing on ROI that they may have invested, and that it's this holistic, much, much faster time to market. You know, a quick example, I was thinking about over Christmas. I'm shopping for my wife, kids, et cetera. I go to a new boutique website, and I've never been there before, so I find something that I like, and I go through, and I'm having to fill out, you know, all of my stuff, and it gets to the credit card portion, and that experience where it's, hey, do you want to scan your credit card? I pull the thing out. I mean, just as I get it close, it's got it. Screen capture, everything's in. I keep going. That's a wow experience of, you know, everybody's probably aware of that, but maybe not. You know, that is starting to become ubiquitous. When I go to the next site and I buy something else and they don't have it, I have a very poor opinion of them because I know what's possible. I'm wasting time. Next time I go back, I'm going to prefer to go to this other vendor. That type of being able to quickly add a capability like that is critical. They made more money off of me instantly in these snap purchase decisions that get made in mobile. And so these are the type of things we want to bring forward to our end customers. Let's look at another example.
There is a house over Jordan. I keep my new clothes.
Music has a unique power to bring people together. The kinds of artists that we feature are emerging talents.
It's about finding your next favorite band. We knew that at some point we were going to need an app.
We got involved with the Mile Music Festival because we wanted to create a mobile app. Last year, we needed to be able to scale the application to 70,000 festival attendees, so it really needed to be able to perform quickly to give our users a great experience.
My relationship with the Skyline team has to do with the dreaming of what was possible.
It's really a sandbox for us to bring technologies and ideas that our associates have and go and create something and then bring it back to our community.
Mobile DevOps is very key to improving our builds, making our deployments more efficient, and creating a better user experience for our users. Xamarin provided a native cross-platform experience. That's the big thing that we wanted. With Xamarin Forms, we're at about 95% code share across the platforms, which is huge.
When you're scrolling through the app and seeing in alphabetical order the names of these bands, often people are clicking on each band, giving the band a listen, and then they're able to just add them right to their schedule right there.
Evolving the app from an information app to an intelligent app has been tremendous for our festival. The glean information from the data that Skyline is able to give us has made a huge plus for us in planning the festival.
A cool feature that we started with this year is push notifications. It's a great way to let our attendees know that something cool is happening.
Enterprises are realizing more and more they have to be in mobile. They have to have mobile applications.
We have discovered with the investment that we've done with Mile of Music that we can go into enterprises and say, here's a great way for you to go and execute.
I said, come on up to that.
It's these types of collaborations with Microsoft, with Skyline, that's going to ensure that music has a future and technology is a way that we can keep music alive for generations to come.
I said, come on up to that.
Okay, so great example just of bringing in some of those back-end cloud technologies and capabilities, one of our Xamarin partners. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Eric Polzin now to give us a little bit of a view of historically where we've been, where we're going as well.
Thanks, Greg. So excited to be here and to see all of you. This has been a dream of ours for a few years to do these partner summits. We were able to do them last year, as Greg said, in Europe, and we intended on doing them in the US, but the acquisition changed that. So we were able to do it again here this year in the States. And so thank you for coming. We love the enthusiasm and the expertise that you have for Xamarin and for mobile. We are so appreciative of the work that you do. This day is meant to inform you on a message to take to the market, prepare you to have better business dialogue and conversations, and we want to make sure that we are hearing feedback, and we want to collaborate from you as well. So we have a big team here from the Xamarin Partner group, the team, and we want to hear from you. So throughout the day, the afternoon, there's going to be breaks. There's going to be a reception in the evening after the final keynote. We want to mingle with you, we want to hear from you, and we want to talk to you. Before we get started, though, there's something I want to do. Hang on. So on the count of three, everyone wave your hands in the air and just say, hi, Xamarin, on the count of three. All right? Hold on. So hi, Xamarin, on the count of three. Okay, one, two, three. Hold on, let's try that again. Okay, ready? Okay, do it. One, two, three. That's better. I did. All right, it's tweeted. Thanks. Okay. So I've been in the mobile space since 2009. I was doing some mobile consulting prior to coming to Xamarin. I got the experience to work with some of the earliest adopters of mobile technology in the enterprise. And that really changed the landscape for me because my background's in psychology and I love behavior. I love understanding what motivates us and why we do the things we do. And I think what we want to look at today is we want to look at what's coming in the next iteration of this generation of mobile. They're calling it mobile 2.0. That's the kind of the recent term I heard. But in order for us to look forward, I want us to look back quickly. So those of you that have been in this industry and have been in this space, I think you've come through this journey with me as well. Do you remember in 2012 talking all about MDMs and responsive web design and just shipping an app to the App Store? Who remembers that? Okay. If we were having that kind of dialogue today, would that be valuable to our customers? Probably not. And then in 2013, we talked about things like location services, NFC, Bluetooth, low energy, beacons, right? iOS 6, which is a huge update for APIs, came out in 2013. 2014, we had the Google Glass. Remember that phenomenon? What did we call people that had Google Glasses? Glass holes, right? We talked a lot about mobile as backend as a service. We talked about offline synchronization. We talked about identity management. UI UX was a big term. Remember that in 2014, everyone was like, what's the difference between UI and UX? I think we got past that. 2015 is when Microsoft launched Office to iOS. Think about that. That's only been 2 years that we've had Office on iOS. And what a transformation that like that was at that point in time. Last year, we heard a lot about bots and IoT, Apple Watch, wearables, app analytics. Those are some of the context last year. And I know that many of you have been a part of this journey of this story looking backwards. And as we look into 2017, I think the biggest trend that we'll see is this whole concept around innovative apps, right? So what I wanted to do is, actually, before we jump into that, I just wanted to say what the market size was. So this kind of mobile plus is what Greg mentioned. It was this mobile plus or mobile 2.0. Their estimates that this market by 2019 will be over $1 trillion, mobile plus. So whether that's with self-driving cars and IoT and bots and AR/VR and all of these new experiences that are going to be touching the tangible platforms that of the mobile devices and the applications we use today, this will be potentially over $1 trillion market. That's according to IDC, by the way. So I didn't just make that up. Let's look at an industry that's a competitive industry and what they've done with mobile. And I want to look specifically at one airline. So we're going to look at the commercial airline space. Everyone who has boarded a plane in the last 12 months, please raise your hand. Okay, that's pretty much everybody. Okay, if you have boarded a plane in the last 12 months and you have not used a mobile phone to board the plane, so you've boarded a plane in the last 12 months, you've not boarded it with your mobile phone, raise your hand. No, one person? One person, two people, three people. Okay, that's amazing, right? So we got about 100 people in the room. 99% of us, 98%, 97%, have boarded a plane using a mobile phone. In 2008, what did you have to do to board a plane using a boarding pass or a mobile phone, an e-boarding pass? You had to log into the website, you had to check in for your flight, and then you could give them either your cell phone number or an email address, and they'd send you a link to open a browser view that had a QR code. And what would happen if you lost connectivity with that web session in the time that you downloaded this QR code and you boarded your plane or tried to get through security? What would happen? It would disappear. So how many of you have stood in a security line back in 2008 or 2009 trying to refresh that page, trying to get that QR code? Okay, and what did we do? We took a picture, right? We did press the home screen and the power button to take a screenshot. That's a hack. We literally were using a hack to board planes in a mobile experience in 2009. Okay, so we're gonna look at Delta Airlines, the world's biggest airline, and what's been their mobile journey. So we're just gonna look at one organization here. All right, so 2008, they had the e-boarding pass option. 2011, remember the iPhone 4 when they had that big commercial series and they said, if you don't have an iPhone, well, you don't have an iPhone. So they featured the Delta app in 2011. It was the first version, Delta app 1.0, in which you could board an airplane using an app. If you don't have the app, if you don't have an iPhone, you don't have the App Store. If you don't have the App Store, you don't have the ability to board a plane easily. Okay, so they introduced this. What you could do is check in for domestic flights. You could get a mobile boarding pass in the application. And I don't know if you can see it really clearly here, but you could take a picture of your parking spot. I don't know if that's valuable or not, but if we were to think about like what those mobile moments is of an airline traveler, taking a picture of your parking spot at the airport may not make the list anymore. I think it still does, actually. Okay, 2013, they came out with Fly Delta App 2.0. And in this big release, they gave you the ability to actually book flights in the app. So it's another source of revenue. So not only did they have the ability to book your flights online, but now you can actually book it in the app. You could search and book flights within the application. So that was just a couple years, that was 4 years ago. Oh, the other thing they had in 2014 was gate information. So that was one big feature. In 2014, they had the Fly Delta app 3.0, there we go, app, and they introduced something called contextually aware. And what that means is that they wanted to give you all of the information that you would potentially need in a day of traveling. So they gave you, if you were being on a connecting flight, for example, let's say you had multiple flights in the same day, you could actually get the boarding pass for both of those flights in the application. It gave you the ability to select your seat. It gave you the ability to see gate information. Now, this wasn't really dynamic information. It was just a static. Once you'd have one service call, that data would be cached in your application. And if there were updates, you didn't get that dynamic update. So in 2015 and into last year, 2016, they introduced Fly Delta App 4.0. Not only was this app contextually aware, but I would argue this was actually somewhat innovative. In conjunction with the launch of the Fly Delta App 4.0, they spent $50 million doing a massive infrastructure update to equip 340 airports with RFID sensors to track your baggage. They lose about 10,000 bags a year, and it costs about $200 a bag to replace it. And not only that, it's just a really bad experience if you show up and you've checked a bag and it's not there, right? It's just a poor experience. It's really frustrating. Ask Francine about her story. She's got a pretty bad one. Okay, so today, if you have the Fly Delta app 4.0 application and you check in for your flight, first of all, you can check in for domestic and international flights. You can rebook flights. You can book award flights. What else? Oh, yeah, it gives you gate change information dynamically. So it'll send you push notifications. So they have notification hubs, right? So you can get this notification in your app, but then also wearables. You get a push notification on your Apple Watch. This last fall, they turned on the RFID infrastructure for checked baggage. I took a flight from San Francisco to New York in November. I checked a bag. By the time I finished getting through security, I got a buzz on my watch, and it said, "Your bag is now loaded onto your aircraft." That was pretty cool, I thought. How did they do that? Then I landed at JFK. I was walking out of the jet bridge into the terminal, and I get another push notification saying, "Your bag is now being unloaded from your aircraft." I said, "Whoa, that's pretty cool." Walk down the terminal, I get another push notification that says, "Your bag is now arriving at Carousel 14, Terminal 2. And I knew my bag was going to be there. This is an IoT solution with RFIDs. And they believe that RFIDs, instead of doing manual barcode scanning, can actually have a 99.9% accuracy rate with RFID scanning. So they've made a big investment, and actually here's an opportunity for you. All airlines by 2018 are supposed to be upgrading to an RFID infrastructure as well. But this is great, right? So this is something that's going to improve the experience that you have traveling. It improves your ability to be informed there's one other feature I thought with the Fly Delta 4.0 app that I'd mentioned, is you can have multiple travelers, up to five travelers in the app with the QR codes. So if you're traveling with kids, in my case, I travel with lots of kids, I could have all of their boarding passes in the app, so I don't have to be printing out their passes as well. Okay, let's take a look in the same industry at two other companies that, you know, may do it well and may not. On the left-hand side, we have an app. This is Virgin Airlines is the app. And they've got a 3.1-star rating. There's been 520 people that have reviewed it. And in this app, you have to actually have this unique booking code to then go that you get from checking in online, go into the app, type in this random booking code, and then you get some information about your application. But let's see what it says. It says, holy terrible, can't find my flights, can't log in, can't check in. In other words, it's worthless and can't do anything it's supposed to. Okay, let's take a look at the app on the right. This is EasyJet. They're like the southwest of Europe, and they have a phenomenal application. Matt Larson here, out of our London office, has told me that he's an American citizen working in London, and he has told me that he has to scan his passport for every flight that he has. And they've got an OCR image recognition feature within that application where not only if you check in online, omni-channel, they know that you've checked in and they give you all of your information and your boarding pass in the application, but to get passport information, he can just scan his passport. He doesn't have to sit there and enter in the expiration date of his passport or where it originated or all of that. It just automatically knows. So let's take a look at this. So this says, okay, they get 4.4 stars. Look at the number of total reviews it's had versus the one on the left. 97,000 reviews. Let's read one. Makes boarding easier and quicker. I've used this app every time I travel, and I haven't had any problems with it. It makes boarding so much quicker and easier. Other airlines need to follow suit. I just think it's incredible when you're working with clients and you understand their business to be able to have kind of examples of competitors and what's going on in the space, where their competitors and your clients are at in their mobile journey. So if we look at a screenshot of an application, right, it doesn't just come automatically. We have to incorporate some things. We have to build some things into it. What are those experiences that are important? Well, it's important that it's performant, it's native UIs, it's responsive, it's intuitive. It's got great design. It's integrated with social. Then there's a lot of these cloud services that are driving the innovation, right? And we're going to learn a lot more about that today. Is the application searchable? Does it have automated intelligence? Is it configurable? Can you make it customized? Can you authenticate within the application? All of these things that I'm describing that are driven through cloud services can be accomplished within Azure. So Azure's got the ability to have RESTful API services, mobile services, so mobile app services, notification hubs, like I was describing with the Delta example, right? Notification hubs. Developer services, of course, with Visual Studio and VSTS. We've got CDN for media storage and serving up blob storage, video, digital media, et cetera. And of course, data, right? So we need data and intelligent data to be driving application experiences. I said this quote on Twitter back in September, and so I'm not above self-promotion. And this is what I truly believe. I believe that mobile changes behavior, and cloud is changing expectations. We would never have boarded an airplane in 2007 with a mobile device. We do today. That's our behavior. We've changed our expectations along that journey because of what is capable and what's being delivered through cloud services. So what are the next mobile frontiers we're going to talk about today? Mobile expansion, artificial intelligence, IoT, analytics and machine learning, AR/VR, not just for games. Design thinking for customer-focused innovation. Did I read everything on that slide? We're also going to be talking about how to drive profitable business opportunities. So Neil and Matt are going to be talking. For those of you going to the technical sessions, we wanted to just briefly mention that. One of the things that the individuals in the business section are going to be covering is going to be around these three elements. How do we get into new accounts? How do we grow the deal size? How do we expand business? And so what we want to do is we want to help you open that conversation. We want to give you ideas, inspiration to drive to new accounts, to have different conversations. We want to help you grow your deal size. Think of different opportunities such as managed services, testing, being that on that spectrum, right? Being a strategic partner versus just a functional partner. And then we want to help you help your clients extend their business. As Greg talked about, the evolution of industry, right? And how disruptors in the mobile space and in digital transformation are challenging your clients and challenging your customers' business. know your clients' businesses well and understand, have a deep learning of what's gonna, you know, what their landscape is and what's gonna help them make them be successful for years to come. On the mobile side, and as we look into the next future of these innovative apps or this mobile journey, I still think there's three things that we wanna have, right? Beautiful native applications on any platform, build, test, distribute, and learn through the mobile DevOps story that we have with Microsoft, and then three is this intelligent cloud. What mobile developers, I think, today need to be successful is they need a lot of shareable code. They need access to all of the native APIs for iOS and Android and Windows. They need the ability to be efficient with advanced toolings, the ability to replicate some of their work efforts. And one of the ways that we've done that, of course, with Xamarin is the ability to share code. And one of the things we're working on and the DevOps side is Mobile Center. So what we want to do is we want to drive automated developer outcomes with the ability to do building, testing, checking in, iterating. And one of the things that we're going to be looking at is Mobile Center. Colby's going to come up here in just a second. But Colby, are you ready?
Yeah.
Want to jump in? We want Mobile Center to be basically mission control for mobile developers. So you've got all of these disparate services, whether they're from Microsoft or from other organizations, where mobile developers are doing their tests, they're checking in, they're getting analytics, and there's a variety of ways to do that. We want Mobile Center to be like the best experience for mobile developers to do that. Colby's going to walk through a demo. He's going to talk a little bit about what that's like. But again, before I jump off the stage, I just want to reiterate how grateful we are for you, our partners, the work that you do, and thanks for being here. We'll talk to you later.
Hi, I'm Colby Williams. I'm an engineer on the partner team. Joined Xamarin probably about 2.5 years ago. But before that, I was kind of sitting where you guys are. I did enterprise and consumer-facing mobile applications for several years. So like Eric said, we're going to be doing a demo real quick of this new thing we're doing, Mobile Center. But before we jump into that, let's talk a little bit about continuous integration. Every change we make to our code base, every time we contribute new code to our code base, we have the potential to break what was already there, right? So because of that, we spend a lot of time, you know, doing regression testing and making sure you know, new features didn't break the old ones, which is really only efficient if we automate it, right? So in comes continuous integration. So the first few beacons we're going to look at in Mobile Center are there to facilitate continuous integration, okay? And we call them beacons because you don't need to use everything that Mobile Center provides. So you might use something else for your build system, but you can still use the test functionality and the distribute functionality and things like that we're about to look at. So whenever I log into Mobile Center, this is what I get. I get a list of my apps. You can see I have iOS and Android applications. And something that's really cool is, although we're going to be looking at a Xamarin app, you don't have to use it for just Xamarin. So you can use it with Swift applications. You can use it with applications written in Java for Android, even React Native apps. It supports all those, and that list will just continue to grow. So if I click into one of these apps, I'm just going to switch tabs, actually. This is what I get. I get kind of a dashboard that lets me quickly set up my application. And I mean, if you see the intro, I mean, that's the whole thing. It's super easy to integrate Mobile Center into your application. But going back to that continuous integration talk, right? The build beacon is going to be the first one that kind of facilitates that. So with literally like two clicks, I can connect this to a GitHub repository. Again, the support's just going to continue to grow. We'll be supporting Bitbucket, I think, in the spring, and others even further out as we go. So just by connecting it to my GitHub repo, I have a list of all the branches and the different commits. And you see I've actually connected these two branches to build automatically. So every time I contribute code to this repository, it automatically kicks off a build, and it was literally a few clicks to configure. If I go into one of these specific builds, I'll get a log of what happened during the build. I can download the files that were produced during this build, and I can even jump out to this commit on GitHub and see which files I've changed, right? So I get all this by just configuring it, and then every time I push code, this will happen. So moving along to the test beacon, every time, you know, after we compile that code and we know that it builds, we also want to test it on physical devices, right? You know, ideally multiple operating systems and things like that. So for those of you familiar with Xamarin Test Cloud, that functionality has been pulled into Mobile Center. For those of you who are not familiar, it's a way to automate UI testing and run it on several different permutations of iOS and Android, physical devices. And this is everything from Pinch, Zoom, Intertext. You can use location services, all that stuff. So if I jump into one of these tests, you can see I actually get a screenshot from all of these devices. Here's an example of a test. I want to make sure my app loads weather data, that it goes to the daily forecast, hourly forecast, etc. And if it were to fail, I get this little red check mark, or excuse me, lightning bolt, and I can go in and actually see why it failed. I get stack trace, everything like that. And even if the test is successful, I can jump into one of these devices, get the details of the device. You know, for Android, this is a little more important because you get the CPU and all those specifics. And I can actually jump in and look at the log that was being collected during this test run. So once the code is successfully compiled, I test it, I know it's good to go. We really want to take that and put it out in the cloud so that our UI testers or QA testers can pull it down without bothering the development team, right? Because we know that it built and we know that it passed our tests, so let's deploy it. For those of you who are familiar with HockeyApp, all of the distribution stuff is being pulled into Mobile Center. So I can create different groups, distribution groups. Maybe I have alpha testers, and maybe I have beta testers. And then here in the releases section of this beacon, you can see I have all these different releases, and I can even jump in and download the IPA file, to go back and use it. Maybe I need a rollback or something like that. So continuous integration really isn't over there, right? We need to, continue to watch how our app is doing in the wild. And so that's where the crashes beacon comes in. Again, if you're familiar with HockeyApp, all of the crashes functionality has been moved into Mobile Center. So this is going to give us crash reports from, anything that goes wrong in our application out in the wild, right? So I can jump into one of these actual crash reports. And this sounds pretty geeky, but I mean, this is a pretty stack trace, right? It's really been neat working with the designers at Xamarin kind of since the beginning because of how technical they are. So it's not just, colorful. It actually has filtered out all of the noise and just given me the data that I need to, take action on this issue. I also get what devices that this crash is happening on, and I can even mark it as closed as I, go through and fix it. But I don't want to know only when bad stuff happens. I'd like to know, how my app's being used in the wild. So by just adding the SDK for Mobile Center, I get all of this analytics data. So in the analytics beacon under this audience section, I'm getting all of this just out of the box, just by one line of code. So I have monthly active users, daily active users, sessions per day, how long those sessions are, what type of devices this is running on. And again, this is really important because I can make sure that I'm using my using these devices for my UI tests in Test Cloud, right? And then if you do want to send custom information, in addition to what kind of comes out of the box, you can send really anything you want. So for the technical people in the room, this is just a dictionary. You send key value pairs and you can, send whatever data you want, and then we'll display it and make it look pretty. For example, I want to know in this weather app which pages are most important. This app actually defaults to the daily weather, but everybody's been using the hourly weather, so maybe I change the default, right? So this can allow me to intelligently innovate on my app and make sure I'm picking the right features. So that kind of rounds out the, you know, continuous integration beacons of Mobile Center, but a lot more still goes into building mobile apps, right? For example, authentication is something that's really common in mobile applications. And so for that, we've got this identity beacon. And again, with just a few lines of code, you can actually add authentication for all of these auth providers into your application. And finally, why would we authenticate if unless we're going to, you know, be serving some kind of data? So really, really easily, you can actually create tables and connect to these databases. And then using the SDK, you do offline sync just with a few clicks. So this list of beacons is just going to continue to grow. Eventually, it's going to have push notifications and all of those things. Because behind the scenes, it's the power of Azure. I mean, all of those things that Azure can do will be pulled into this and you know, really provide a UI for you to do everything you need in mobile. Something to note here is that Mobile Center is still a preview product. I wouldn't recommend using it for, you know, production apps yet, but I would recommend using it because you guys are our partners. I talked to the engineering team for this product every day, and they asked me, like, you know, what do you guys want? What do you guys need? So I would highly recommend, you know, checking it out, you know, start playing with things and reaching out if you need, you know, more analytics or different things like that, because, you know, right now this is being worked on every day and changing, and you really can have a great impact. So that's Mobile Center in a nutshell. I'll ask Greg to come back up. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Colby. Okay, so we are going to get ready to take our first break. You know, I just wanted to reiterate, you know, as we head into these topics about where we're going, that I've had a number of conversations with partners around them validating this need for customers are saying they're a bit either intimidated or they're starting to think about some of these emerging technologies and their overall mobile strategy and looking to you, looking to us to say, where should I go? How should I consider this? Things that they may not think are relevant to their business, but they want to understand what's possible. Even if they end up backtracking to say, okay, let's go more simply, but it is that validation that you are looking around corners for me as well. And that's why we wanted to take that time today to really make sure we're going deeper, at least not deep, but deeper into some of these. And then this will stimulate your own thinking in areas maybe that you haven't dove into yet. And then come to us afterwards, as Eric mentioned, both today and then beyond, working with your partner executive, with our technical teams as well, to say, how do I integrate this? How do we start to make this a service that we're building in and integrating and build, you know, profitable revenue stream on it? So just to highlight, we are going to have a break here, grab some coffee, et cetera, till about 2:30. And we have the technical session starting around just down the hallway right here. Saturn is the room. For those of you that are in the advanced track, and you should have the purple on the back of your badge. And then Nebula for the green badge is going to be, Nebula is the room that is just across on the left side towards the end of this hall as well. Somebody was joking with me, you have, of course, we got to give you the Xamarin Monkeys and the pins. Like, hey, isn't this the digital age? What's with the pin? In case you didn't know it, pull the pin apart, 2 gig hard drive in there, at least for a little sneaker net. But also wanted to, for the group here, you know, one of the things we'll talk about, AR, VR. We also have, for those of you as you head out tonight before we head to the reception, some AR, VR headsets for everyone, just to give a try in the theme of what we're doing. Take a picture of this slide. These are some pretty cool apps that are out there just in the public store, some things like a concert. You've got a full concert experience that you're in the front row, the concert. You've got some really incredible documentary experiences, refugee-style scenarios where it'll drop you right into the scenario in action and so forth. And we just wanted to give this as a bit of a gift for you just to keep, again, expanding the mind as you think about these things. And so with that, I'll go ahead and break. We're able to take a chance, grab us. Let's have some conversations as we move on to the next sessions. For Business Track, we'll stay in here. And be in here, we'll kick off with diving into some of these technologies.